Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Let's pray before we begin this morning. Father God, thank you for your word. Bless our time this morning as we look at your scriptures and learn from them. Sanctify us in your truth, Father God, for your word is truth. In your name we pray. Amen. Back in high school in South Dakota, I was a cross-country runner. Believe it or not, sometimes I don't even understand why I would choose to run. But I did run, and every weekend our cross-country team would have a meet. Now, a track meet would take place at a track, right? But a cross-country meet is too long for a track. So most of our meets were held in parks or golf courses. They would paint a three-mile line on the grass to show us where to go, to show us the course. And us runners would just follow the painted line until it brought us to the finish line. 3 miles of turns, hills, loops, and valleys. That was a cross-country meet. I remember one meet more than any other, though. And I think it can help us understand what Jesus is talking about here in John chapter 10. Near the end of our cross-country season, our team had qualified for sectionals. Our top 7 runners went to Brookings, South Dakota. Artis, you know where Brookings is, Brookings, South Dakota, for a race against the other best teams of the area. It was scorchingly hot that day, and I hadn't drinking nearly enough water. I started the race strong, but quickly realized that I was dehydrated. My dad was watching me and following me along at different points in the race, and he said that I was wobbling, running unsteadily. But there was another problem. It had rained in Brookings sometime after they had painted the line that told us where to run, and a few sections had washed away. There was a point where I fell behind the group around me, the group of runners who were running near me, and I was by myself for a stretch, and the painted line had worn away. I was dehydrated, struggling to keep upright, and I didn't even know which way to keep going. Does that sound like us? It's a pretty good illustration, I think, of what our life would be like if we didn't have Jesus as our Good Shepherd. Today is Good Shepherd Sunday. It's the day that we remember that Jesus is our Good Shepherd, the one who protects us, guides us, and provides for us. Open your Bibles again, or turn in your bulletins if you have them available. Let's look at John 10. Let's look at God's Word as we talk about God's Word today. Let's learn about what Jesus teaches us about being our shepherd. Verses 1 and 2 of John 10. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs in by another way, that man is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. Jesus, our good shepherd, protects us. Shepherding looked a lot different in Jesus' time than it does today. I'm sure you can imagine that there weren't large fenced-off fields for sheep to graze in. They would wander the countryside with their shepherd, going wherever they could find small plants or grass. There were stone enclosures called sheepfolds scattered throughout the country where the sheep could go in for the evening. There was only one opening in a sheepfold, an entryway where the shepherd would lead the sheep in and then sit in the entryway, blocking the sheep inside. The shepherd slept in that entryway, keeping the sheep in, keeping the bears and the wolves out. Anyone or anything that tried to get into the sheepfold by any other way than the door was a threat to the sheep. Jesus calls them thieves and robbers. Now, the people Jesus had in mind here were the Pharisees who were listening in. Jesus had just called them in chapter 9 blind deceivers who were guilty of misleading the people. But Jesus is also speaking to us today. He is teaching us that the Good Shepherd is the only one who will truly protect his sheep. As Christ's sheep, we can know that there's only one way into our sheepfold, only one way in to find rest and security, only one way out to find nourishment and refreshment, and that one way is Jesus, our Good Shepherd. Lots of other things try to tempt us. They try to come over the sides of the walls. They claim to provide satisfaction or fulfillment or contentment in ways that don't involve Jesus. They try to grab us away from the shepherd's protection. But anyone or anything that does not enter by the door is a thief and a robber. Their claims are too good to be true. They are always empty promises. The awards and acclaim that high schoolers struggle for will be meaningless just a few months later. The money and resources we stress and worry about can't guarantee peace or security. We could vote every Bible-believing, God-fearing politician into office in the whole country, and we would still have crime, corruption, and injustice. The world will only ever give empty promises. Only the Good Shepherd can truly protect us. Jesus, our Good Shepherd, also guides us. Let's look at verses 3 again, 3 through 5. To him, the gatekeeper opens. To the shepherd of the sheep, the gatekeeper opens. The sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. A stranger they will not follow, but they will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. I'm sure you all know what a shepherd's staff looks like, right? A long wooden stick with a curved top, a curve on the end. It's a curved crook at the top. All shepherds had a staff. It was the most important thing a shepherd carried. The staff was used to fight off wild animals as the shepherd protected his flock, but the crook was also important. If a sheep was wandering too far away, the shepherd could use the crook to pick him up and put him back safely where he belonged. This illustration that Jesus gives here in John 10 is pointing to what Jesus uses as his shepherd's staff, the Word of God. The Word of God guides us. It is a lamp for our feet, a light for our path. It guides us to how life works best. If we are wandering away from God's safe trail, the Word will correct us and bring us back to where we should be. If we're caught in a dangerous place with a temptation to sin right before us, the shepherd's staff of God's Word will fend off the devil and beat him back to where he came from, and the staff will hook us and bring us back to safety. Those sheep who wander from the path of righteousness give up the safe, sure footing of Christ's path. They instead choose to rely on their own path, their own trying to find their own way, and rely on their own worth and their own record and their own abilities. Jesus is our Good Shepherd, though, who guides us down paths of righteousness, of holiness, of purity, of goodness. The Word guides us on the path of the obedient and perfect Son of God. We don't follow strangers to the left or the right. God's Word guides us. We follow our Good Shepherd, and we know His voice. Listen to this story from a theologian named Gary Berg. He writes, during the Palestinian uprising in the late 1980s, the Israeli army decided to punish a village for not paying its taxes. The officer in command rounded up all of the village animals and placed them in a large barbed wire pen. Can you picture this? Later in the week, he was approached by a woman who begged him to release her flock, arguing that since her husband was dead, the animals were her only source of livelihood. He pointed to the pen, containing hundreds of animals, and humorously quipped that it was impossible because he could not find her animals. She asked that if she could, in fact, separate them herself, would he be willing to let her take them? He agreed. A soldier opened the gate, and the woman's son produced a small reed flute. He played a simple tune again and again, and soon sheep heads began popping up throughout the pen. The young boy continued his music, and they walked home, followed by their flock of 25 sheep. They knew the voice of their shepherd. We are God's sheep, and we know the voice of our shepherd. We know the voice of Jesus. And just like we need to be careful about the empty promises of the world, we need to be careful about our spiritual leaders as well. Just because someone is reading Bible verses as they preach and teach on the radio or on the television doesn't mean they are preaching and teaching truth. They could be just like the Pharisees, using Scripture but using it wrong. Using Scripture but not leading the people to Jesus. Only Jesus is our door. Only Jesus is our guide. Thirdly, our Good Shepherd also provides for us. Let's jump down now to verses 9 and 10 of John chapter 10 here. Verse 9, Jesus says, "I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly." This reminds me of our psalm this morning, probably the most popular psalm in the Bible, Psalm 23. It begins, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters." This is a perfect scene. It brings to mind the perfect scene of a sheep with their shepherd, doesn't it? You can just imagine the perfect spring day. The temperature is perfect. There's just the right amount of clouds in the sky. When you need to eat, there's no shortage of grass. There's a calm and safe creek nearby for when you need to drink. This is everything a sheep could ever want. All of a sheep's needs are provided for by a shepherd who is doing everything he can do to take care of his precious sheep. This picturesque scene feels different from the lives we experience, though, doesn't it? Life does not feel as easy or as painless or as carefree as Psalm 23 makes it seem. And we're reminded every day that we live in a broken world, not a perfect one. Families are torn apart by divorce. Our children are expected to navigate a cruel and complicated world that their parents don't even understand. Our bodies are continually failing and falling apart. We struggle to scrounge up money for the sky-high prices of food and gas. The news is filled with awful and devastating stories. I shall not want. All too often, we are always in want. We do have needs and things that aren't perfect. If Jesus is our good shepherd, why can't we have green pastures? Well, when we think of green pastures, we think of this picturesque scene, don't we? We think of farmland. We think of tall green grass that waves in the gentle breeze. But that was not the truth in Bible times. There were no luscious green pastures in Israel. The hills of Israel in the time of David, time of Jesus, and today as well, are airy, dry, and rocky. The wind that blows over the Mediterranean Sea brings small amounts of moisture to the rocks, just enough moisture for little tufts of grass to grow here and there. No waving field of grass, just tufts here and there. Shepherds would find a hillside and slowly lead his sheep over the hill so the sheep could find these little tufts of grass. This is what green pastures meant to David and to Jesus here in John 10. A shepherd doesn't give his sheep a never-ending supply of food, but just enough food for the day. The sheep receive what they need for right now. They didn't need to worry about tomorrow because they trusted their shepherd. Our good shepherd does care about our physical needs, and he does provide us with green pastures and still waters. He gets us through the day. He gives us spiritual food and spiritual drink that daily provides for our greatest needs. The bread of life, he gives us living water. Earlier in John 6, Jesus said, "For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." They said to him, "Sir, give us this bread always." Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst." Our good shepherd provides us what we need. He gives us abundant life. As Psalm 23 says, "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me." How long? All the days of my life. And I shall dwell in the house of the Lord. How long?
Forever.
Forever. This is our promise. This is our hope. The path of our lives may wander through difficult terrain and challenging valleys, but it's a stable and a firm path laid by our good shepherd, Christ himself. And as beloved sheep of the good shepherd, we will be loved forever. Amen.